You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, Gitxsan Chiefs of the Upper Nass Watershed unveiled their land use plan to the provincial government, marking a key milestone as they reestablish their presence and governance over their ancestral territories. Over the past 3 years, the Upper Nass Chiefs have worked with their technical teams to develop a land use plan that identifies and outlines resource values on the territory and how they want to preserve, protect, and utilize those resources. On Monday, they presented the completed land use plan to Stikeen MLA and Minister of Land, Water, and Resource Stewardship, Nathan Cullen, who will now take the Upper Nass land use plan back to his government for review and ratification, cementing the Gitxsan Chiefs' title and jurisdiction over their territories. Today, we'll speak with Samoigit Wiminalsik, Larry Skulls, as well as Sarah Railton, a registered professional forester and one of the lead facilitators that helped produce the land use plan. We'll talk about the importance of the Upper Nass LUP and where the Chiefs see the plan going from here. Stay with us.
Yeah, my name is Larry Skulls. That's my English name. And my Chief's name is Wiminalsik. And like I said when I spoke, it'll be 40 years since I took over the title of Wiminalsik from my uncle. And I learned a lot over the years. And I got involved with the treaty office. I got involved with the land use plan at the land management office. And you could see from the beginning, or you could feel it from the beginning, that when we talked about the land, a lot of the chiefs felt that the land use plan is similar, the land use plan that the province puts out is similar to some of our thoughts, some of our ancestors' thoughts on how we looked after the land, how we looked after the land for years. Because that's very important to us, preservation. And what I said in my little opening remarks was, the province looks at it as a resource extraction. They go on the land and say, okay, let's analyze what kind of trees and what's under the surface, find out what's there. It's all resources. While we looked at it, one of the chiefs spoke and he said, we've been looking after this land for years. And he used thousands of years. That hit home to almost every single chief within the Upper Nass and how we looked after it. And like I spoke about Walter Blackwater being born on a land. And he lived on a land and survived on a land. That's important for us. It is. It's for every single chief that spoke today how to preserve the land for future generations. You hear it over and over and over again. Because that's what's going to happen. You hear some of the chiefs that were not on a panel. They talked about the water being so low. They talked about climate change. What would happen if all our resources are gone, all the water is no longer flowing? What are we going to do? We can't bring it back. Now is the time to look after it. Those are some of the thoughts that we have on a land use plan.
There was mentioned that you know it's not just singular in this moment, but you know this has been going on a long time. The chiefs have been working on this, those that have come before you have been working on this for ages. Now that we're here and the plan has been presented to the provincial government, what does that kind of mark, all this work that has finally culminated in this moment where the plan is complete, it's been handed over, what comes next?
I think the next step, and you hear Hanamuch talking about phase two, where we form a partnership with the province. And the province looks at the land use plan and understands the land use plan and bring forward some of our thoughts. Hopefully they change their long-term plan. They go in 5 years, 10 years, 20-year plan. Instead of just extraction, look at the land for its beauty. It's a beautiful piece of land. Let's look after it. For us, the chiefs, it's so important. To us, it's a long-term commitment for every single one of us, and it's a generational. You're looking at the next generation and a generation beyond that. We want to look after the land and preserve it. That's important. Yeah.
I guess lastly, Larry, you know, for yourself as a chief, what does this mean for you and your territory?
My territory? I've lived on a territory for a few weeks at a time. And I talked to Walter Blackwater. I took him back to Blackwater where he was born. And the feeling that he got as we were approaching the Blackwater, coming on a plane, and he could see the territory, and he could see the emotion where he was born. For him, it's his, that's where I was born. That's my village. That's what he talked about. My village, my land, and the commitment he had to the land and how they looked after the land. And he talked about how many fish they would get, just enough. 200 fish would be good for the whole family for the whole year. And they added fresh meat to that. They always went out and hunt and looked after themselves that way. For me, listening to him talk about how he was brought up and how they survived on the land, it hit home for me. Hit home for me. Because the commitment to preservation, one thing that's very important, the province's approach and our approach, the Kitsan approach. The province's approach is extraction, resources, adding stumpage, royalties. They look at it differently than we do. Totally different. And hopefully we can come together, the province and the Upper Nass chiefs come together and manage the Upper Nass the way I think it should be managed. Yeah, that's important.
That was Samoyget Womanosik, Larry Skulls. Coming up next, my conversation with Sarah Railton.
Sarah Railton, registered professional forester, based in Terrace, British Columbia.
Great, Sarah. So we're here, we're in Gitsan territory in Hazelton. The Upper Nass Land Use Plan was just presented to the province. Tell me a little bit about, one, your involvement, but also what does this land use plan mean? What is it all about for the Gitsan?
The Upper Nass Land Use Plan has been developed and is being presented by the Gitsan Simgiget of the Upper Nass Watershed that have elected to participate in this land use plan process. So there are a number of house groups that have elected to not participate in the process. I believe there are just two. But other than that, the Gitsan hereditary chiefs of the Upper Nass Watershed have come together and have spent the past few years developing a land use plan, which is in essence, to boil it down, building a bridge between Western science and Gitxsan science or traditional knowledge to create a land and resource stewardship plan that incorporates both a Gitxsan worldview and is also operational under the legal context of British Columbia.
In terms of the work that is done, what does this kind of mean now going forward? It's been presented to the province. This has been years of work. Where does it go from here? And what was your involvement with all of this?
So in terms of what this work means, this has been a conservation planning project that has been holistic in nature throughout the participating Lahiap areas, as I mentioned. It's been ongoing over the past 2.5-3 years. My role in this process has been to facilitate the meetings and facilitate a lot of the discussion. I took part in a bunch of the research and plan writing and development, but ultimately the plan is a reflection of the voices of the chiefs, and my role in it was to facilitate the collation of that knowledge and kind of compartmentalize it, put it into chapters, and as I said before, sort of tease out from that Gitxsan worldview how do we compartmentalize it and make it operational in the context that a non-Indigenous worldview tends to take things in pieces, water, fish habitat, forests, things like that. In the Gitxsan worldview, they're often much more integrated and taken as a whole. So a lot of the work was actually just sort of parsing out those different ways of thinking and representing knowledge and representing information. What it means going forward, the sort of non-subjective parts of it are that this is a group of Indigenous people who hold legally protected Aboriginal rights and title to a specific area of land. In this case, it's the Upper Nass watershed. These people have invested time, money, resources, heart, and soul into the development of this plan that is a proactive step toward talking non-Indigenous neighbors and agencies about what the boundaries are for the Upper Nass Lahiap. And I don't mean physical boundaries necessarily, the boundaries of what is and what is not permissible within this area, which is sacred to the Upper Nass Mi'kmaq and also to a lot of other people. So the land use plan sets out what the vision is, what the expectation is by these rights and title holders. And in the context of UNDRIP and like British Columbia legislation such as DRIPA, there you can sort of project or forecast where you think things are going to go, but that's sort of the subjective part. Where does it go from here? It's going to depend on the people that are at the table on all different sides of the conversation, but I really do think where I think it is going to go from here is a step forward in a heart-centered direction where we've got agencies and individuals who in the past might have just been bureaucrats towing their own line maybe, or maybe they're just individuals from another agency towing a line, whereas I think that this plan and this conversation is going to bring people to a place where we're forced to go back to relationships and where we're forced to leverage those relationships and the communities that we live in to make the change that we want to see happen. And that is obviously going to take some tough discussions. But I do think, I think it's a proactive step forward. And we've kind of, if you can allow me a motherhood analogy, this would be the, you know, today is the day you bring your baby home. Right. And so I think we all know there's a lot of work that comes right after you bring the baby home.
That's a great point. And you've been involved. This isn't the only land use plan you've been involved. There's others happening. There's other nations, not just here in the north, that have already done this and presented it to the province. The Gitignau just celebrated 10 years of their own land use plan. So clearly these are happening in various places across the province. From your perspective, being kind of on the technical side of things, why is it so important to see this done? And what does this do? As was mentioned, the Gitxsan have always managed their territories. They've always had a land use plan. It just hasn't been written down. You know, in the context of that, what does it mean to actually have this, a plan that is laid out and we can read it, we can take a look at these maps and know whose territory is what and what value the resources have in each of these territories?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think you hit a lot of the key points there. That question is honestly enough for like a whole season of exploration, all the different ways of what it means and what does it do. For this short kind of snippet, what I think that I would like to contribute is that it gives a voice to beings, and I want to call it, they're things that would be considered inanimate nature, but that within a Gitxsan's worldview would still be considered to have a spirit, things like water, things like minerals and rocks. So from what I can see, obviously, like I said, there's myriad ways that this changes the game, but a big one is that giving a voice to beings and entities that have been marginalized or are not yet part of our conversation, even as we discuss sustainable management, sustainable resource management, the plan gets down just a little bit further past our uses toward the intrinsic value of these resources or these beings, these entities. And something simple like water, it's very difficult to talk about water in an economic sense because it's so polarizing, and you have people who feel very strongly on both sides of the equation around pricing water, for example. What something like this land use plan does is it brings water to the forefront of a conversation, giving it its own intrinsic value in the ecosystem and outside the ecosystem as it is. So it's kind of nuanced things like that. I know that's kind of a little bit airy-fairy, but it really is the beginning of paradigm shift. So that's what I'm excited about, is a paradigm shift and the opportunity to talk about things differently, to think about things differently.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.